"It is finished." At the end of all his suffering, Christ addresses his Father. "It is finished." The drama of Calvary becomes enveloped not in darkness, but in light, the dazzling light of the most blessed Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And it is this light that shines upon the work which Christ has finished. So what is the work that is finished when Christ turns to his Father? The work that his Father has given him to do. For Christ himself tells us so. "I glorified you, Father, on earth by accomplishing the work that you gave me to do." Christ's work, given to him by his Father, embraces the whole of human history, backwards and forwards. The once and for all sacrifice for our sins has been completed. The priest Tertullian captures this truth. He refers to Christ as the illuminator of ancient times. Through Christ's work, everything becomes Christian. Creation, the Garden of Eden, the fall, the flood, the patriarchs, Moses and the prophets, the River Jordan, the New Jerusalem, the last things, the judgment of the world. Everything that has gone before and everything that lies in the future is taken up in the consummation of all things that occurs on that hill outside of Jerusalem. It is finished. Everything that transpires at the moment of completion remains ordered, directed towards the Christian religion. It is finished. And this throws light on why the Church's commitment to evangelization can never be lacking, because according to Christ's own promise, the presence, his presence in the power of the Holy Spirit will never be absent from the Church. "I am with you always, even until the end of the world." There are no other options, no peaceful compromises, no relativism. It is finished. So we can't get away from the serene supremacy of Christ's announcement. All things find their completion in Christ's sacrifice and reconciliation, which comes to the world as a gift. Nothing that men or women have done deserves it, quite the contrary. Instead, the gift comes from both the Father, who so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, and from the Son of God, who so loved us that he'd offered his life to repair our disobedient desertion from what makes us truly happy. It is finished. The completion of all things begins a new period in world history. We call that the Church. Pope Benedict XVI reminded us that the Church as a whole and all her pastors, like Christ, must set out to lead people out of the desert towards the place of life, towards friendship with the Son of God, towards the one who gives us life and life in abundance. The Pope urges us to find life in friendship with Christ, whose friendship is like an oasis in the desert. Nothing surpasses friendship with Christ. Indeed, if we were unable to enjoy this friendship, it would be better if we had never been born. Our own time has sadly forgotten the seriousness that our ancestors in the faith expressed in their love and testimony for their faith. And this forgetfulness places our generation in great peril. They look for love in all the wrong places. Christ's friendship is not to be taken for granted, like a commodity that will always be available when we want to buy it. It is like, as Pope Benedict says, an oasis in the desert. To find an oasis can be a matter of life and death. And the alternative to friendship with Christ is, in the final analysis, isolation, suffering, and disorder. By a worthy celebration of the sacred liturgy in these holy days, by receiving the sacrament of penance, what we call confession, by walking before the Lord in holiness of life, let us cherish our friendship with Christ, for he cherishes his friendship with us. He said that he glorified his Father by accomplishing his Father's work, and he also said, "Now glorify me, Father, with you, with the glory that I had with you before the world began." Think for a moment what these words mean. Christ considers our cleansing, our renewal, our salvation to be his glory.